I'm going to talk about, in the limited time that we have, eternal rewards. It's something that's not, I haven't really heard a sermon on this. There's not many books written on this. So I had to study a little bit and I had to read up. And I must tell you, when it comes to heaven and rewards we'll receive in heaven, I had to work through this myself because Andre has a friend, his best friend, one of the pastors in the Shepherd group. They always joke about, you know, say for example, they think they now had to do something really special or something, you know, godly or in their opinion, then Andre will phone this friend and say, you know what? I've just moved 25 rows closer to Jesus. And then I could just hear on the other side that this guy now is thinking really hard to now say, okay, but I've just done something yesterday, moving 26 rows forward to Jesus closer. And, you know, they're always joking about this rewards in heaven and whatever we do on earth will now somehow benefit them in heaven. You know, and I always tell Andre, you know what, you're boasting. Now just moved the 25 rows back, maybe even more. So I didn't relate with this rewards that you'll receive in heaven. I had another friend in at school. He always said, no, he's going to drive a limousine in heaven. And I thought, what? I couldn't. Obviously, there must be a balance, you know. There's always this balance thing when it comes to all of these talk and things. But I just couldn't relate to heavenly rewards. Even though I'm very much focused on earthly rewards, you know, Andre sometimes will tell me, don't worry, that whatever you've done now, it's going to be by a skatte in the hemel, treasures in heaven. And I say, I'm not interested in the heavenly treasures. I want you to see it. Or he will say, no, don't worry, Sonika, God notices. God sees. No, I know God sees. I want you to see. You know, I want you to notice. So I'm very much focused on rewards and pleasing somebody on earth. And God really opened my eyes that it's all over the Bible that one day we're going to stand before God. And he's going to either say, well done, good and faithful servant. Or I will take you to a parable now where you will not actually be happy with what we have done on earth, even though we will go to heaven. Okay, this is not referring to heaven or hell or salvation. It's something completely different and extra. And I just realized it's all over the Bible. You know, it's like getting baptized, all these people who got baptized. Before I got baptized, I never saw any scripture in the Bible about baptism. I just never saw it. And since God started speaking to me about baptism a long time back, it's all over the Bible. It's just everywhere, you know, and it's the same with this rewards thing. I just all of a sudden realized that eternal rewards is all over the Bible. You know, there's a scripture that says we need to rejoice when we are persecuted for righteousness, for great will be your reward in heaven. Not on earth, in heaven. So I can't explain to you this morning exactly what the rewards will be like. I don't know. But all I know is that God created us. He created each of us and he knows exactly what will bless us one day in heaven. So I just want you, just for a moment, to think about any reward on earth that will motivate you. Anything. Say in your workplace, a promotion, a holiday, an afternoon off, a salary increase, or just your boss telling you, thank you, well done. I'm so pleased with your work. Or as a mom or a dad, you know, Vian, our boy, is now just over 3 years old. You know, the most amazing reward for me is when, if I tell him, Vian, ek is lief vir jou, and he tells me, Liefie ook, mama. Or he can do it in English as well. Sometimes I tell him, I love you, my big boy. Then he tells me, I love you too, mama. I'm telling you, it's a reward. It's something I receive from him that blesses me so much. Or in any area of your life, maybe just for those guys who like sport, just a nice golf game without any interruptions, without anybody bugging you. You're just playing your golf, and it's a beautiful day, and there's no wind, and you're just hitting that ball straight. It whatever is a reward for you, chocolates, okay? Whatever is, I want you to think about it, because there are rewards in heaven. And even though we can't figure it out for all the analytical brains here this morning, and I'm one of them, we can't figure it out. We can't figure heaven out. Okay, so we need to stop trying to figure it out. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be amazing. Okay, we're not only going to sit somewhere and just sing. For those of you not musical, because I know people are so scared about the singing in heaven and worshiping nonstop. Because I can't sing, Sonika. What am I going to do in heaven? Don't stress. Okay? It's going to be amazing. And whatever, you're going to have a perfect voice in heaven, let me tell you. We're all going to sing in tune in heaven. It's going to be an amazing place. So I want to take you to a parable, Matthew 25, verse 14 to 27. The whole parable won't be on the screen. I'm just going to highlight one or two things for you. It's about that the parable where there was a master, and he gave three of his servants, he gave talents. To the one he gave five, to the one he gave two, and to the one he gave one. And I just want to highlight a few things with you. The first thing in that parable that is very interesting, he gave to each one to his own ability. Okay, I know you all maybe have a reference or maybe have heard this parable before. He gave to each of his servants to his own ability. And what is amazing about that is the playground is completely fair. And I'll explain that to you now. Because if God has given us five talents, now just for interest's sake, those talents that he gave them were money, okay? I worked it out. One talent equals 60 minas, that's Bible currency. 60 minas, one mina equals 3 months' wages, okay? So if you just say 1 month's wages in South Africa is 2,500 rand, maybe. Then the one who received the five talents received 2.25 million rand. Okay, it was money he gave them. Or it was worth money. It was a way in which, something which they used to trade. So now the master gave these things to his servants, and now he returns. Okay, he gave to each one to his own ability. Then he who had received the five talents went and traded with them, made another five, and the one who had two also traded, and he made another two. But the one who had received one went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants came, and he settled accounts with them. So now he's coming back. Okay, I've given you 2.25 million. What have you done with it? That is the one who had five. So he was very pleased with the one who had five because he traded and he made another five. Okay, and he said, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. But I want to show you what happened to the one who hid it in the ground. Then you had received one talent, came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping we have not sown and gathering we have not scattered seed. And I was afraid. So it was fear keeping him from multiplying that one talent. And I hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered him and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. It's quite strong words. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. So I just want to show you three things. God gave to, or that master, but it represents God giving to each of us something. He gave to each of us according to our own ability. So that makes it completely fair. Why do I say that? We will not be judged or held responsible for what we have done on earth. We will be held responsible for what God called us to do, for what we have done with those things He has put into our hands. Does it make sense to you? So you don't have to compare yourself ever to anybody, because even if there's a pastor in the Christian or the church world, if you're a pastor and you have a church of 20,000 people, maybe God didn't call you to be a pastor at all, even though you seem very successful. Or maybe you had 20,000 people in your church, but God actually called you to be a pastor in a small town and have 200 people in your church. But you didn't want to do that. You followed your own heart. So you seem very successful, but God actually gave you something else, and you went your own path. Okay? So you never have to compare yourself with anybody, because in the end, we will just be held responsible for what God has given us and what He has called us to do. All right? That is very important to realize. So the playground is equal, completely equal, when it comes to God and when it comes to eternal rewards. God will come back to settle accounts with us, and fear should not keep us from doing what God has called us to do on earth. Where we will spend eternity, I want you to listen to this, where we will spend eternity in terms of heaven or hell is determined by what we do with the cross of Jesus. Okay, that is the gospel, that is the good news. We can't earn it, we can't work for it. That is where we will spend eternity. But how we will spend eternity is determined by the way we live on earth as believers, what we do with those things God has given to us. You know, and I always had this attitude that I will sweep floors in heaven. As long as I go to heaven, what's this thing about ruling in heaven and the rewards? No, it's just ungodly competition. I'll explain to you everything this morning of how God changed my own heart to realize that there's going to be rewards in heaven, and it's something to look forward to, and it's something to act, it's worth living for, it's worth going for. But I had this attitude that I will sweep floors in heaven, in the corner, you know, very humble, and I'll just sweep floors in heaven. And I realized that sweeping floors for eternity is a long time. And God just opened my eyes, said, this is not what I'm called for. I'm not called to sweep floors in heaven. I'm not called only to like by the skin of my teeth slip into heaven and I'll sweep floors. No. God has called me for something much more. And I think my problem always was heaven was for me the end. Or my life on earth ending, going into heaven for me was almost like an end. And now it's eternity. And God told me, Sonika, this is the beginning. This is the beginning. If we understand eternity, then that is the beginning. It's going to be eternal. It's going to be forever. And whatever we do here on earth, with what God has given to us, it's going to have an impact on how we live for eternity. So I don't want to sweep floors in heaven anymore. Okay? And no one of you want to sweep floors. I'm really trusting God that He will reveal to us. I'm going to be very practical at the end and just show you how we're not going to miss God. How we're not going to end up, you know, just going to heaven, but that's it. All right, I want to take you to another scripture, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11 to 15, in the New Living Translation. That'll be on the screen. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. This is the good news. Jesus is our foundation. That is the gospel. That is when we commit our life to the Lord. Nobody can steal that away from us. Okay, unless we decide to turn our back on the Lord. Anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials: gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. But on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. Andre's spoken about judgment day and what will happen there. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. And if the work survives, that builder, that's each one of us, will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved. He will go to heaven. But like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames. I never understood the scripture. I always thought this is like that guy hanging next to Jesus on the cross, saying, "Lord, please remember me when you go to paradise, or when you please remember me." And Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." I thought this is what the scripture is talking about. That your very last 5 minutes, you commit your life to God. This is not what the scripture is talking about. This is talking about somebody on earth having Jesus as his foundation. Somebody committing his life to the Lord and now is building with either gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. You're building something. And on judgment day, there will be a fire. This is just a picture, okay, of how it will work. There will be a fire, and whatever you've built will either survive or it will be burned up. And if it's burned up, you'll still go to heaven, okay? But it will be like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames. John Bevere, I'm going to read you a quote of him. And don't get stressed, okay? We're not going to receive any condemnation this morning or guilt or anything. I'm going to show you very practically how we're not going to miss God. How we're not going to miss the Lord. How we are going to walk in our calling. This is why we talk about this. John Bevere says, it's in his book, Driven by Eternity. If you want to read an excellent book about specifically these things, that is a very good one to read. Okay, John Bevere, Driven by Eternity. He says, there are numerous individuals in church, this is all of us, unaware that they will give an account of what they have done in their short stay on earth. Many have the erroneous idea that all future judgment is eradicated by their salvation. This is how I always thought. I really thought like this. Indeed, Jesus' blood cleanses us from the sins that would have kept us from the kingdom, that would have kept us from heaven. However, it does not exempt us from the judgment of how we conducted ourselves as believers, whether good or bad. Now, there's two ways in which we can react now. I've read to you one scary quote by John Bevere, one scary scripture in 1 Corinthians. We can react in two ways. We can either be like the two servants who received the 5 talents and the 2 talents, and we can say, "God, you've given me so much. Together with you, Lord, we're gonna do something on earth." Or we can say, "No, I'm so scared. I'm just not going to do anything. I'm going to hit whatever God has given me. I'm going to just hide it away. I'm so scared I miss it that I'm not going to do anything." You know, sometimes we're so scared to miss it that we actually miss it because we don't do anything. And I'm telling you, this is my kind of personality. Andre is more the one like jumping in. "Lord, how far, how high, how deep? Tomorrow, no, not tomorrow, now, let's do it now." I'm like, "Oh, wait one day, let's just pray about it again." You know, and obviously God has placed us together, so we're balancing each other out. But, you know, sometimes we're so scared to miss it. We're so scared to not be in God's will, that we are actually not in his will because we're just not doing anything. Okay, and I want to read you two very, very encouraging scriptures. Psalm 127, you all know that. "Unless the Lord builds the house, the work of the builders is wasted. Unless the Lord protects the city, guarding it with sentries will do no good. It is useless for you, for us, to work so hard from early morning until late at night. anxiously working for food to eat, for God gives rest to his loved ones. God builds the house. God is the builder. So even if the scripture says that anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials, and it refers to us, God is the builder. Jesus is the foundation. God is the builder. We just need to partner with him. We just need to partner with him. We co-labor with the Lord. If we don't do that, we're building our own house. And we build in vain. So it should take all the pressure off us. It should actually take all the pressure off us. Philippians 2, verse 13. It says, "For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him." This is a life-changing scripture if you understand, if you receive it with your heart. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power. So if we position ourselves, and as I say, I'm going to explain to you at the end exactly how we should do that. If we position ourselves in the right way, God's going to give us a desire. In other words, you will want to do his will. You will want to do it. And he will give you the power. So you will be able, he will enable you. So we don't even have to worry about our weaknesses or our sins or our past or anything. It does not disqualify us. Maybe you think, Sonika, you don't know my past. My past is a mess. My building is going to be burnt up in heaven. No. You know Smith Wigglesworth? He's an evangelist, a great evangelist of the 20th century. He started his ministry in his 50s. Did you know that? He started his ministry in his 50s. It's amazing. It's never too late. It's never too late to say, God, I'm going to start walking in your will and your promises and your calling for my life today. Don't worry about your past. Okay, it's irrelevant. It's irrelevant with God. It's irrelevant. Yes, sometimes we need to work through it, and this is why we do things like a liberty course, where we say, God, my past somehow has stole so many things from me, but I want to be free, so help me. Okay, so sometimes we need to deal with our past, but it does not disqualify you. It does not disqualify you. So if we position ourselves in the right way, God will give you both the desire and the power to do his will. Okay, we're not going to stress. We're not going to fear. We're not going to be like the one who go and eat his talent in the ground and say, God, I was afraid. No. We're going to walk in the fullness that God has for us. I prophesy that over all of you this morning. Randy Alcorn, it's also a very good book, Money, Possessions, and Eternity, that changed both Andre and my life. He says, business people work in a world of incentives. It's a quote, but it's not on the screen. Business people work in a world of incentives, coming back to eternal rewards in heaven. So do homemakers, school children, and every other human being, regardless of age, nationality, or wealth. Every effective manager, every qualified leader knows the importance of incentives. You will know if you're a school teacher, you will know what motivates your little kiddies, little 10-year-olds. You will know they need an incentive to sit still. Don't worry, don't worry. 30 minutes from now is break. Whatever. We live in a world of incentives. These are tangible motivators that may be personal, social, spiritual, physical, or financial. Most of us use rewards to motivate our children. For those of you who have children, you'll know we use rewards to motivate them. So why are we surprised that God uses rewards to motivate us? And as I say, it's all over the Bible. God just started opening my eyes that there are rewards in heaven, and that we need to conduct our life in such a way that we will receive whatever God has for us in heaven. Matthew 16, verse 27, it says, "For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory, the majesty and the splendor of his Father with his angels. And then he will render account and reward every man in accordance with what he has done." I can give you so many scriptures. But you know, one thing that the Bible refers to is that we will receive crowns. Something I never understood either. God is opening my eyes for now. We will receive crowns. The Bible talks about different crowns: the crown of life, the incorruptible crown, the crown of rejoicing, the crown of glory, the crown of righteousness. I can give you scripture references for all of this if you want to. And what will happen is we will take these crowns and we will lay it. In Revelation, he talks about laying it before God's feet, worshiping him with these crowns. And when I read this, when I understood this, my whole perspective changed. I thought, wow, I want crowns because I want to lay it before his feet. I want to glorify God in heaven. I want to worship him. So even rewards in heaven, it's not a selfish thing. We need to go for it on earth because our rewards in heaven will glorify God. It's amazing. It's really something we can go for. Ephesians 2 verse 10, you all know this as well. It says, "For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew." This is the salvation part, which we can't earn, which we can't work for. That has all been done so that we may do those good works which God predestined, he planned it beforehand for us, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and already and made ready for us to live. It's all planned. God has planned our life. We just need to walk with him. We just need to partner with the Lord. There's a story by Reinhard Bonnke. I couldn't get all the facts now to check all my facts, but it more or less goes like this. God spoke into him to do a certain project, to take the gospel to a certain part of Europe by distributing pamphlets. And as I say, I don't know all the detail about the story because I couldn't find it again. But God said to him that you are the third person I'm asking to do this. You are the third person. Are you going to do it? And he said, "God, I'm in." And when I think about this, I just realize that God's work will continue. God is not dependent on one man or one woman to do his work. But the question is, are we going to partner with God? And let me tell you, please, if you've disobeyed God in the past, there's forgiveness. There's another chance. But sometimes there's consequences for a bad decision. I want you to listen to this. I'm almost finished. Another quote by John Bevere in his book, Driven by Eternity. I don't think that's on the screen either. Janice, is it there? Okay, I just want you to listen to this. He says, in over 20 years of traveling, he has a traveling ministry, traveling from to different churches and ministering to them. He's an author. He's really a prophet in our modern society, where he calls people back to God, back to holiness, back to the fear of the Lord. In over 20 years of traveling to churches worldwide, I've seen senior pastors whom I knew in my heart were called to be associates. So people were on the top, running the show. He felt in his heart they were called to be in a supportive ministry. They were called to support somebody, not run the show. Businessmen whom I knew were supposed to be in full-time ministry. And even pastors I knew whose calling was in the marketplace. This is just what he felt, going to different churches, different places. I've seen people out of place in the corporate or business world because they worked for someone else because of fear of failing on their own. They should actually be in charge, but they are afraid that they're going to fail on their own. So they keep on just supporting, serving. But God actually called them to be in charge. And I've seen those who were not faithful to another because they just wanted to be their own boss. And let me tell you, there's seasons. Often there's seasons God will maybe take you through a season where you support somebody, where you faithfully support somebody else's vision, and then he says, you're ready. I'm going to release you. So if you're at the moment supporting somebody else's vision, it doesn't mean that you're not in God's will. John Bevere now has his own ministry. He studied as an engineer. He worked as an engineer. He planted himself in a local church. He says, in all his years, he only planted himself in three churches. The one was when he was studying and when he started working as an engineer. And I can't remember exactly when he changed from church to church. But he only moved on when God told him to move on. I've seen many people marry out of the will of God. That is a scary one. I've seen many people marry out of the will of God, and others who have been entangled with certain friends who kept them from their calling. I've seen those entangled in recreation, sports, lust for money and power. The situation are endless. But all kept these believers from fulfilling their role in the master plan of building God's house. This is quite scary, hey? But I'm going to give you three pointers now. I'm almost finished. Three ways of how we are going to conduct our lives that we're not going to miss God. It's not going to be anything new. Okay, so don't look for anything new. Don't look for any new revelation. It's probably all in your heart already. But sometimes we need to be reminded by the basics. We need to be reminded of basic things and walk in it. Not only be hearers of the word, but doing it. So if we one day, at Judgment Day, that Andre spoke about 2 weeks ago, when we arrive before God, he's going to either say, well done, good and faithful servant, or there's going to be a fire that burns up everything we did on earth, or a portion of what we did on earth. So how do we get to a place one day where Jesus will tell us, well done, good and faithful servant? First of all, Matthew 6:33, we need to seek the Lord with all of our hearts. Seek, aim, and strive after first of all his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, and then all these things taken together will be given to you besides. Hebrews 11:6, it says, he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. There's something about seeking the Lord. There's something about reaching out to the Creator of heavens and earth. That we can't go wrong. We can't go wrong if we seek the Lord with all of our hearts. You know what I always tell people, especially when it comes to relationships, because this is a difficult area. Is this my husband? Is this my wife? You know, people get so confused because it's an emotional thing as well, and I understand that. You know what? God's yes is not always so clear. Even if he tells you to take a job or to move down or to do something, his yes is not always so clear. But let me tell you, God's no is very clear. If you know the peace of God, you will lose your peace. You will know that, you know, God will, like all the red lights will go off. Everything will go off. God will do everything in his power to stop you from disaster. So the whole thing about seeking God, it's not something to stress about. It's not. You're not going to miss God if you earnestly seek him with your whole heart. You're not going to miss him. But you will know that you know that you know that you're heading for disaster and you're ignoring God, you're ignoring your friends, you're ignoring your small group leader, you're ignoring everybody and you're doing your own thing. Then God is not responsible, but he will do anything to keep you from that. And even, let me tell you, if you've made a mistake, God is bigger than our mistakes. If you honestly made a mistake, even if you were disobedient in the past, you know that you were disobedient. God is bigger than that. Okay? As I say, sometimes there are consequences, there's results that we need to work through, but God is bigger than our mistakes and even our disobedience. All right? But when it comes to disobedience, sometimes there are consequences. All right? But seeking God with your whole heart, if you follow the peace of God, you can't go wrong. You can't miss Him. And if you miss Him, you will know. If you have really sought God, you will know, this is the reason why I missed Him. God did speak to me. Through this, God did speak to me, but I didn't listen. Okay, so it's a safe place. It's really a safe place, unless we are stubborn. Okay? Second, planting yourself in a local church. So well done for all of you, those of you who planted yourselves. It's not about shofar. It's about planting yourself in the church where God wants you to be. Amen? It's not our choice where we plant ourselves. Okay? If you are an apple tree, you can't go and plant yourself now in the desert. You need water. Okay? So God will lead you to a place where there's water. God decides where we plant ourselves. We need to follow His guidance. And obviously, you need to find yourself in a place where you grow, where you have friends, where you feel comfortable, where you feel safe. Okay? But God is in all of those things. Safety, growing is in all of those things. But God decides where we plant ourselves. And there we plant ourselves until God speaks. Until God speaks. Because the devil will want to uproot you. He will want to take you to another church quickly. Within 6 months. He will want to take you out of the church where you are currently, if you may be visiting from another church. He will want to uproot you. You need to plant yourself. This is a place of safety. Okay? Third one, just quickly. Do not be entangled by the things of this world. Nothing new. There are three things. Big things. And we've spoken about this many times last year. And in this year as well, money and possessions can entangle us. I spoke about having your treasure in heaven and not on earth about 3-4 weeks ago. Security can entangle us. Your job, your degree, your safety, your comfort, it can entangle you. And the third one, relationships can entangle us. Wrong relationships can entangle you. And even the right relationships can entangle you. If we get sentimental, you know, when we moved to East London, or when Shafa started planting churches all over the country, I said to Andre, we need to start thinking where we would be willing to go, because they're going to ask us. I said, we need to just, because I said to him, I don't want to go anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. But I need to find a place, at least that I can tell them I'm willing to go there. And I said to him, I'll go to George. That's 4 years ago. 5 years. I will go to George. Nowhere else. Why? Because my parents live in that area. My sister lived in Knysna. They don't live there anymore. But they lived in Knysna, and my parents lived close to George. I'll move to George because I love my family. And I have good memories because that's our holiday spot, because my parents have a house there. So I have good memories. I had a lot of sentimental ties to that area. Sentimental ties. And when the option for us came to move to East London, I thought, no. We don't have family here. We don't have any. I haven't even seen the place in my life. Where is East London? You know, I was freaked out. No, God, I will go to George. I did tell you I will go to George. I was so sentimental. And you know what? God said to me, Sonika, if you're going to move because of sentimental ties, if you're going to be entangled by that, and if you are moving to your family because you want to be close to your family can move anytime. You know, my sister and her husband, they moved to PE 1.5 years ago. Praise God. They're closer to me. But I wanted to move to George because of my family. And then they moved. Very close to my sister. Then they moved. And then God said to me, you're making the biggest mistake of your life if you're going to be sentimental about relationships. I'm not talking about loving them. I'm not talking about loving your spouse, loving your family. I'm talking about we're making decisions based on things in our heart that is not God. It's our own entanglement to things. in life. And so there can be wrong relationships and good relationships that keep you from God. So those three things. If you seek the Lord with all of your heart, if you plant yourself in a local church until God tells you to move on, and if you say, God, whatever keeps me from doing your will in terms of this life, money, possessions, relationships, security, whatever, I'm letting go. Show me. Because God works very gently and slowly with us. Let's stand. I know we're way over time. But praise God. Thanks for your patience. Let's just stand with me. The worship team can join us. I just wanna pray for us. If you can just close your eyes. Let's just focus on the Lord for 1 minute. I just want to ask you one or two things that God just laid in my heart. I want you to all close your eyes, okay? So it's a private moment between you and the Lord. And I just feel some of us need to just deal with certain things in our heart. If you feel in terms of relationships, if you either feel that you are entangled by a wrong relationship, it's not necessarily a girlfriend or boyfriend, or it could be just a friend. Either a wrong relationship or you are sentimental by a good relationship and it keeps you from obeying the Lord. I just want you to quickly raise your hand. Anybody? Just quickly raise your hand. Okay, thanks. I just want you to bring it in the light. This is just bringing it in the light, saying, God, I want to obey you. If there's anybody here that you feel that you are entangled, you are actually not walking in God's will because you are entangled by anything I've spoken about, money, possessions, security, anything, just quickly raise your hand. Just bring it before God. Just say, God, I want to be free. Thanks for those hands. Thanks. Okay, I'm just gonna pray for you. Let's just focus on the Lord. I just want to ask one other thing. I'm just doing what I feel God's leading me to do. If you are afraid to miss your calling, you are scared. You are scared because you've made bad decisions in the past and the devil is haunting you. Just raise your hand quickly. If you are scared that you're going to miss your calling because of whatever reason, raise your hand. Don't be afraid. Just raise it. Thanks for those hands. Amen. I actually just feel, I'm going to pray for all of you, but if those of you who feel scared to miss your calling, can I please ask you to come to the front? Because sometimes it's a fear. It's a fear of man. It's a fear of failure. It's a fear, an ungodly fear of God, because you don't know who he is. Just come to the front. I just feel we need to anoint you because God wants to release you in your calling. Thanks, guys. Just come. I just feel we need to break fear over your life. Fear of failure, fear of man, ungodly fear of God. Because God has destined you for something great. He's called you to do something amazing. And if we are afraid, if we're gonna hide away and say, God, I'm so scared, I'm messy, that I'm not gonna do anything, is exactly what the devil wants us to do. Amen. And I really believe God's going to set you free this morning. If we can just have facilitators as well, I just want to pray for those other two groups, and then we're going to pray for these people in front. Father, I pray for anybody in a relationship that is not right, Lord. A right or a wrong relationship keeping them from following you with all of their hearts. God, I break that in Jesus' name. I break that sentimental ties over their lives in Jesus' name. I pray for freedom, Lord. I pray for the guts and the courage to follow you and to make the right decision in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for everybody entangled by money, possessions, security, their comfort. Anybody, God, just entangled by whatever is keeping them from your peace, from your will, from your calling. God, I pray for obedience this morning. I pray, God, for the willingness to obey, for the willingness to follow you, for the willingness to lay down comfort, for the willingness, God, just to step out in faith and trust you. We honor you, Father, for your grace, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, that you built the house. Without you, God, we labor in vain. So we glory this morning in the cross of Jesus. We glory in the grace of God that is sufficient even when we are weak. Even when we sin, God, we can come to you boldly and confess, and you will set us free. So we thank you for your presence. And I just pray this morning for freedom in your house. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yes, Father, we just take authority of every spirit of ungodly fear. God, may we not be like the steward that hides away. Just put our head in the sand and just hope for the best. God, may we be bold and courageous in pursuing you. And so, Father, right now we speak a loosing, a setting free of every fear. In Jesus' name. Thank you, God, that the fear of the Lord draws us closer to you. The fear of the Lord causes us to run to you, to honor you. And so, Father, we thank you right now just for a release in hearts here, God. To know your love, to know that they can trust you, to know that as they just take every day following Jesus, they will not just make it, they will overcome. And you will say to them one day, as they stand before your throne, you will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And so, Father, we just receive those words made echo in our hearts. Well done. Good and faithful servant. May we have a faith, God, a knowledge in our hearts that we will overcome as we just trust in you. And thank you, God, for your peace now to rest upon your people. Just birth faith in them right now, Lord. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Facilitator, just take some oil. Just anoint them. Just speak God's peace and courage over their lives. Hallelujah. Okay, we're just going to be ministering with them here in front. You're welcome to join us for some coffee.